Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 22, St. Lucius the First.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
Hey everyone, welcome back. When we last left off, the Roman Emperor Gallus had stepped up the persecution of Christians again in Rome, and he had exiled St. Cornelius to Civitavecchia, where he suffered in witness of the faith. So after him, St. Lucius was chosen to be Pope. That was in 253 AD, and it seems almost immediately that he too suffered for the faith. Now I've read two different tellings of this story. In one account, Lucius is chosen to be the Pope while in exile himself, having been an official in the church and thus exiled along with St. Cornelius. Another account has his elevation to the Bishop of Rome occur first, and then immediately that leads to his exile. Regardless, both accounts have St. Lucius in exile around 253 AD. That's the same year in which the Emperor Gallus was captured and killed by a rebellious general named Aemilianus, who almost immediately was in turn defeated and killed by another general named Valerian. In late 253, Valerian was proclaimed the Roman Emperor, and he named his son Gallienus as his co-emperor and successor. It seems that with this shift in power, Lucius was able to return from his exile to Rome. As we'll see, Valerian will eventually begin the persecution of the church again, but for now, the shifting winds of the political situation were favorable to the Christians. Lucius's return was just celebrated by the Roman Church, and even by St. Cyprian, who from afar wrote a letter to St. Lucius congratulating him on his witness for the faith and his return home. St. Cyprian writes that the persecution that they endured was a sign from God of Cornelius and Lucius's legitimacy against the anti-pope Novatian, who is still hanging around. Cyprian writes to Lucius, "For Christ's adversary does not persecute and attack any except Christ's camp and soldiers. Heretics, once prostrated and made his own, he despises and passes by. He seeks to cast down those whom he sees to stand. And I wish, dearest brother, that the power were now given us to be with you there on your return, that we ourselves, who love you with mutual love, might, being present with the rest, also receive the very joyous fruit of your coming. What exultation among all the brethren there! What running together and embracing of each one as they arrive." Man, I love these letters from St. Cyprian. We get so much detail, so much reality. They're real people. They're not just historical figures. They're real saints. The controversy over what to do with the lapsed, the apostate, or the heretical Christians who wanted to return to the fold was still, you know, in full swing, with Novatian still saying, no, we got to be strict and kick them all out. And according to Cyprian, Lucius communicated the same policy as St. Cornelius before him. Cyprian writes that Lucius judged that peace should be granted to the lapsed, and when penitence was undergone, the reward of peace and communion was not to be denied. St. Lucius would not remain as Bishop of Rome for long. He died on either the 3rd or 4th of March in 254, so that's almost about a year. St. Cyprian, in one of his letters, refers to him as a martyr, but he is probably in that referencing his exile. You know, martyr comes from the word for witness, and so his exile is probably, you know, the witness that he gave rather than a martyr's death. St. Lucius was buried in the papal crypt in the cemetery of St. Callistus on the Appian Way outside of Rome, and he was succeeded by St. Stephen I, the 23rd Bishop of Rome. And we'll talk about St. Stephen next week. Thanks for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com or find us on iTunes. Thank you and God bless.